Welcome to the Rock Your Relationships podcast.
Rock Your Relationships.
Is that going to be our theme song? So, yeah, this is Chuck is. Here with my special singer, theme song performer, Betsy.
Yes.
And we are...
Rock it! Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead. It's a background singing.
Background vocals.
Background.
I like it.
Okay.
We'll work on it.
It's late.
It is late. And we've got our 85% dark chocolate, so you may want to...
That's the hard stuff.
Pull up your own favorite chocolate and listen in, because this is one of our core ideas.
Core teachings. Very important. You got to get this.
Healthy relationships for right. Rocking your relationships. In fact, this one's so core. Just the other day, we had been having a disagreement, an argument that we kind of worked on and off for a couple days.
Right.
And when we got to the end of it, it came right back to this to today's topic.
Yes, it was truly pathetic that we had been failing at the basics. We realized this is why we've been arguing for like 2 days. It's because... emotional responding, we're just not doing that well. But that's good, because it shows it's very powerful. The basics are very powerful.
That's right.
And you always need them.
You have to come back to them again and again.
Right.
So today
right.
we're talking about emotional responding. And one of the ways in which we talk about emotional responding is that it's the heart-to-heart connections that you make. Sometimes when someone comes to you... with a heart thing, something related to the feelings.
Like a heart statement, you're saying.
Like a heart statement, yeah. So give an example of a couple kind of heart statements.
So we can talk about friends giving these statements to one another, or spouses, or even acquaintances. So a heart statement, for instance, would be, I really feel sad about this thing. I feel hurt. I feel angry. Or it can be positive emotion. Like, I'm so pumped. And... I can't, believe how lucky I am, or something like that.
So you can be positive or negative?
Positive or negative, but it involves an emotion. Basically, it's like you're sharing an emotion.
Right, and so one of the things that we've learned that's been so helpful, and like we said a minute ago, is just one of those basics to come back to again and again, is that when someone comes to you with heart statements, when they're having emotions, they're relating mm-hmm. to you emotionally,
right.
you want to respond emotionally. That's
yes.
the whole deal, emotional responding.
Because what does that create, Chuck Stokes?
It creates a connection.
Connections.
Helps you build intimacy in that
right.
relationship.
Creates connections, helps you build intimacy, and causes you to get and stay close with the person
right.
that you wanted to get and stay close with.
And this is biblical. In
yes.
Romans 12, which is one of my favorite chapters in the scriptures, Paul has just been teaching about the gospel and how incredible the gospel is. He's laid it out. And in Romans 12, he talks about the kind of response the church should have to one another
mm-hmm.
in light of the gospel.
Right.
And so one of the verses that for years when I would read this passage was kind of a throwaway for me. Like it was not, I just didn't
really
know what to do with
it.
Yeah, I just read
yeah.
over it. Is Romans 12:15, which says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. And that is all about emotional responding. When people are having
mm-hmm.
positive emotions, rejoice with those who are rejoicing.
Right.
When it's something in the range of negative emotions, then you mourn with those who mourn. Because the Apostle Paul knew
mm-hmm.
through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that is a way that we connect as humans.
And I like, he's teaching people how to live in community. He's teaching the Roman church how to live in community.
That's right.
How to love each other. Mm-hmm. So the other kind of response could be what we call a head response. So if there's a heart response, there's also a head response, which is good and helpful. But when you give a head response to a heart statement, you don't build a connection. In fact, sometimes you can make the person feel bad.
It can actually turn them off, shut them
yeah.
down. It can do damage. And I've heard this talked about with male-female relationships a lot, about how men like to be problem solvers.
And they're good at it. Thank God
that's
for problem-solving men. yeah.
But sometimes you just want someone to listen to.
Right.
You don't want them to
Absolutely.
Solve your problem. And I think that idea is
right.
very much related to this emotional responding. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
what you need is for someone to respond to you, to your emotions with emotion, so that
right.
connection can be built. And what you don't feel alone, right? Because intimacy is all about removing aloneness.
Exactly. It's not good for man to be alone. And Chuck, just real quick, I remember you've said something that was really helpful for me to understand you before, is that when you learned about emotional responding, it was odd to you and it felt foreign because you had been trained not to be too emotional in academia and in your career life. Mm-hmm. Is that you had to not be too emotional with coworkers and that kind of thing because maybe it wasn't appropriate, or because you really, in order to succeed, you needed to be very reasonable in everything. And your job was fixing problems. Like, you fixed problems for a living when you were in residence life, basically.
That's
and
right.
You learned that the things that were successful for you at work were not working in our marriage, because your goal in friendships and a marriage is to get and stay close, not necessarily to fix problems, you know, first off.
Right, so I was missing opportunities to connect with you. When you would come to me with emotion, I was missing opportunities to connect. And in the same way, or in a similar way, when I held back my emotions, when I didn't share what I was feeling with you, it didn't give you that opportunity to make that connection
right.
with me. So
yeah,
it's important not just to respond when someone brings you emotions, but to try to, when you're feeling something, put words to it with someone who you trust, someone who you feel like is going to be able to be with you in that.
So you have to give others a chance to give you emotional responding. And this is what's also hard for me, is that you have to actually, when you have an emotion you're trying to share, you have to actually say it. You can't give a head statement like, oh, this problem is really huge, when what you really mean is, I'm feeling so frustrated and sad.
Right.
Because that's not fair to the other person. They're going to hear a head statement and give a head response. So I have learned, if I have a heart statement to give, I need to say an emotion word for you. It's not fair to you to have to read my mind. So
yeah.
I have to say, I'm feeling sad. And then that will trigger for you, oh, this is the heart statement.
Yeah. It's like sometimes, and this can be really hard too, sometimes it's hard to put words to your feelings.
So absolutely.
You know, I know for me sometimes I feel kind of jumbled up inside. Like, I know I'm feeling something, but I can't put words to
it.
And it's kind of like I need that little sheet that you see at the doctor's office for, like, how bad, too much does it hurt, you know? Or like a sheet of emojis.
With the little faces. Yeah. You need little faces to point to.
Point to which one it is, you know? You need those kinds of handles. But,
right.
You know, we've taught
Aww,
our kids
that's
this.
That's cute. I need to make one for you.
Hey, that's good. But we've used this with our kids, right?
Absolutely.
This works for all human beings.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And because of that, our kids have started to build up a good feeling
they
vocabulary.
Have a good,
emotional vocabulary.
They do. We started with glad, mad, sad, scared, sick. If you can think, that's five of them, so you can put it, you know, put your hand out and show your children five fingers, and if they can't figure out how they feel, you know, because little kids sometimes have trouble, you can say, is it glad, mad, sad, scared, sick? It probably falls into one of those categories, and it just teaches them at a young age to think about their emotions and communicate them with words.
Absolutely.
So there's a little parenting advice. Just throwing it out there.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, This stuff is so basic, it really applies to all relationships.
It really does.
When we want to make
these connections. We all have emotions. We all have feelings.
And so, all right.
So how do we do it?
Let's just be real practical. Let's give some examples about how to do this well. You know, we've talked about sometimes it can be difficult to get to the place where you're saying what the emotion is. But let's say you've gotten there.
Okay.
You've been able to put the emotion into words.
Okay.
So how do we make, what's a helpful response versus unhelpful response? What does emotional responding sound like?
So let's say, for example, that we have two college students, let's say two young women and their roommates, and one's sitting in the room, the other one comes in, like, to the dorm room and says, oh my gosh, my professor really embarrassed me today in class. I felt like I was going to start crying. She just called me out, and I was so embarrassed. Okay.
Good. Now, so there's some good feeling words in there.
Right, because we know embarrassed is a form of hurt.
Right.
She probably also might feel a little afraid and shaken
mm-hmm.
from what happened. Yeah. So she might be feeling a little betrayed because you kind of think that a professor is going to be respectful, hopefully, right? So there's a lot of anguish going on behind those words. So how the roommate responds is going to indicate whether this becomes a connection between the two of them or right. just another interaction.
Right.
Okay.
So let me start yeah. with how probably the first thing that would come out of my mouth if I didn't catch myself
okay.
and think about here's an opportunity
right.
to respond emotionally, the first thing that I would think about is solving the problem, right? Like
okay.
why did that happen? What did you do? What did you say that made your professor do that? Or like tell me all about the circumstances. Like
mm-hmm.
I want to get to the details to try to figure out what happened to try to solve the problem.
Oh my gosh, yes, that is totally you. But I mean, that's very helpful at other times. It's just that in that moment, it's not going to help you make a connection. So I would call that, I would say maybe that's advice giving, and it could be even a little blaming. So those are two examples of maybe some unhelpful responses.
Mm-hmm.
And like again, you know, advice giving, you give very good advice, and so it would maybe be good later. So in that moment, if you start to overanalyze
right.
what happened because you want to help solve the problem, that's advice giving. And if it happens too early or if it's not asked for and the person isn't open to it, it can actually be damaging. If you also ask, it sounds like you were a little bit going into blaming. I mean,
mm-hmm.
do not do this on purpose. I mean, we're not, you know, generally not trying to hurt our friends, but it just happens accidentally. If you say something like, well, you probably did something to set her off, or, you know, maybe she wouldn't treat you like that. Maybe your professor wouldn't have said that if you had done this. It's almost like you're saying it's your fault,
mm-hmm.
you know. And now, I'm not saying that it's not this person's fault, you know. I'm not saying that this person didn't kind of have it coming. I mean, that might even be the case that
right.
she brought it on. But remember the goal. What's the goal here? Is to get and stay close.
That's right.
Right?
To make those connections.
It's not to fix your friend.
To help that person not feel alone in their emotions.
Exactly. So in that moment, you're not going to do the blaming. You're not going to do the advice giving. If you have advice, save it. And then when you do bring it up later, after the emotions have died down, if you think your friend is open, you can say something like, I have an idea of something that might help. Or can I share with you what I might do in your situation?
Mm-hmm.
Once your friend feels less alone in her pain, then she might be open to hearing your suggestions.
That's good. So
yes.
then you've kind of done two things. You've made a connection. If you can have a healthy emotional response, you've made that connection. You've helped
right.
them feel her not feel so alone
yes.
in the negative emotion that she's feeling. But you've also opened up an opportunity to, if she's open to it, talk about what happened and solve the problem
mm-hmm.
after you've helped her deal with
it. Right, because, you know, people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care.
Right.
That is so true.
Yeah.
One of my reactions that I catch myself doing that is an unhelpful reaction to an emotional statement is often over anger, because I get very protective, especially
mm-hmm.
of the college students under our care. Who come to our Bible study and that kind of thing, I will get real protective of them. And so I'll get over angry. And so, like, in this case, for instance, I might say something like, how dare that professor do that? You know, and, oh my gosh, I'm going to call her right now and tell her she can't talk that way
mm-hmm.
to you. I will tend to get protective and over angry.
And it seems, again, just like with the blaming or advice giving, You might think, I'm doing the right thing here, right?
Right?
Like, this person needs their problem solved, or maybe this person's in error and they need to see where they've gone wrong.
You mean the one who hurt, like the professor in this case?
Well, or maybe with the blaming in that situation,
oh, right.
you know, you may think your friend is in error. But
mm-hmm.
in this case, you're siding with your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like, hey, I'm helping them not feel alone because I'm being mad with them.
Right.
In this. Like, it seems
mm-hmm.
like it may fit the whole helping them remove aloneness. So why is that not a helpful response?
Well, what I learned is that it's not helpful because there's a difference between being angry with someone and being angry for someone. And being angry for someone is appropriate. For instance, if someone's telling you about some abuse that they've suffered, they need to see that you are angry for them. But that's not necessarily the same thing as over angry and rage, that kind of thing. Being angry with someone is when you almost kind of feed their anger. And what I'm doing is someone's sharing hurt, and I'm helping them turn that hurt into anger because I'm entering into anger with them. And you can't comfort anger. We need to keep it at the hurt stage. I need to comfort her hurt, enter into her hurt with her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And it might be that I'm feeling hurt for her and I'm turning it into anger, but I need to also stay at the hurt stage and try to care about her and where she is and comfort her and not make it about how it makes me feel. And I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And, you know, for me, intuitively, this one makes sense because, like you said, this would be one of your favorite unhelpful responses.
Yes.
So in our relationship, there have been times when I've come to you with some offense, like someone has hurt me.
Right.
And I'm angry about it, and you get angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel better.
We're just two angry people. We're not actually connecting.
Yeah. So I know from experience,
right,
this didn't help me feel better when you,
yes,
were angry with me. But when we were able to get back to the hurt and you were in that with me, that really has worked. That, mm-hmm, really has helped me feel better. And it helped me kind of settle down my anger so that I could eventually kind of think rationally about the situation and what needed to be done.
Oh, I'm glad that I could do that.
So we've said three unhelpful responses: advice giving, blaming, over anger. What else?
Okay, well, another one is called minimizing. So, for instance, if the response to the girl's friend was something like, hey, I'm sure it'll all blow over, or, oh, it's not really a big deal, or even, seriously, that's why you're so upset,
mm-hmm,
those are all minimizing. So what you're doing is you are taking the person's pain and really trying to tell them that it's not as painful as they think. Now, this has nothing to do with whether or not you rationally think that the person should be this upset. Okay, mm-hmm, so you might very well be right that this person is overreacting.
Yeah.
But again, it all comes back to the goal. The goal here is to comfort and to build connections. It's not to fix your friend. You know, they're going to be open to your advice and to sanctification from, mm-hmm, God, when they feel loved and safe and comforted.
Right.
So you don't want to minimize. Something better, if you feel like someone is overreacting, is to say, I see this is really getting to you. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you're hurting. Or you can say, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Gosh, I see how upset you are. It breaks my heart. I love you. And you can say all these things without saying that you would also be as upset as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And you know what's a key for me on this one?
Yeah,
is to be able to not just say the words, but, mm-hmm, like almost kind of put myself in their shoes in a sense that, okay, I see that this is really getting to you. Oh, I see that you're really hurting from this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that unlocks compassion.
Right.
You know, and for a time I can sort of put out of my mind the idea, I think maybe she's having a $5 reaction to a 50-cent offense here.
Right. We say that a lot. A $5 reaction to a 50-cent offense. We got that from intimacy theory,
right,
from our trainer. Yeah. Right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just the point of, you know,
yeah,
it's not just saying the right words, but trying to respond emotionally.
Really feel it. Right.
This isn't verbal responding to emotions. This is emotional responding.
Emotional response. Oh, that's a good point. Let's see, we've got two more real quickly. One is making it all about you. So let's say someone gives you an emotional statement, a heart statement, and you go off about yourself. You might say, you know, the same thing happened to me once. Let me tell you all about it. Blah, 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 blah. Well, mm-hmm, that person's just going to shut down because their pain is no longer being cared for. Something better to say in that case would say, just, I've been there. You know, hey, I've been there. You might even say, I think I know a little about how you're feeling. Or you might say, I think I can imagine some of what you're feeling. Okay, so let them know that you can relate somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might say, really? When did you experience that? And then you can give some of your story.
But remember, it's still, the focus is still on you.
Right.
If they ask that, then you give the brief story.
Yeah, you give the brief, give a few details.
And maybe focus on saying how you felt, rather,
yes,
than telling the narration of the story, because this is all about staying in the emotions.
With them. Exactly. Good point. And then the last one.
Over-spiritualizing. This is another one of my favorites. Because
by favorites, you mean one that you tend to do sometimes?
That's right.
Because it's not my favorite. It's probably my least favorite for you to do. Okay.
But because we want to help people turn to Christ, to find that peace that passes all understanding. Yes. All those things are good. And just, it can also be a way of minimizing.
It is.
This can go with minimizing when you say something
like, Christian minimizing.
Well, clearly the Lord meant for this to happen to you. So what does he want to come out of it? Well, yeah, God is in control of all these things. And accepting gracefully the things he brings in our daily circumstances is important.
Right.
But you miss that opportunity to respond emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And again, many times, since we've learned about this and practiced this, I've seen with you or with me or with someone else that I do this with, that when you respond emotionally, again, it unlocks the ability to say, for that person.
Yes. It gives you permission.
Okay, well, what is God doing in this? Right. Now that I don't feel so alone in
this.
Yes. What is God trying to teach me through these circumstances?
Right. Another thing you could say is God cares about your pain, and so do I.
Mm-hmm. Which is true. We know God cares. Yeah. We know Christ has experienced all the range of human emotions and temptations and those kinds of things.
Yes.
And so you join Christ in being with that person. Okay, so we mostly told you about unhelpful responses.
Don't do these things. Over anger, minimizing, advice giving, blaming, making it all about you, or over-spiritualizing.
And the main principle in coming back to the scripture again about how to respond is rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn.
Yeah.
When a friend comes to you with emotion, you try to respond and be with them in that emotion before you move on to some of these other things that may be very good and important parts of the relationship. But respond to emotions with emotion.
Heart to heart, head to head.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to talk more in another podcast about really what the most helpful response is. We've given you bits of it along the way in this one, but that is comfort. Comfort is the kind of key response. It's that mourning with those who mourn. So this has been one of our core concepts, core lessons in intimacy theory and having healthy gospel-centered relationships, and that is emotional responding. Thanks for listening in.
So, practice emotional responding this week.